spirit of courage and endurance. Hear our many voices lifting up the hardship of this moment. People in our congregation and all around us are dealing with tremendous uncertainty and pain. We have parents struggling with the balancing act of working from home while looking after their children. Many of us can no longer go to work, but still must find a way to pay the bills. And even those of us who are economically secure are still beset by spiritual and psychological demons: loneliness, anxiety, confusion. We lament the suffering of all those touched by this pandemic, and we pray that you might hold them close. Give us the courage to reach out and help, and grant us the wisdom to know that there is so much we can do. Help us to see the invisible strings by which we all are bound together. And may we feel your love in every selfless act. God of stars and seasons, we have just seen the passing of the spring equinox, when night and day are of equal length. We ask that you bless our spirits with that same balance. May we find poise amid these tremors. For all your children feeling lonely or lost, we offer up this poem, Appeal to the Solitary One, by Rosario Castellanos. It's necessary at times to find company. My friend, it's not possible to be born or to die without another. It's good that friendship removes from work the appearance of punishment, and from happiness the illicit air of theft. How could you be alone at that complete hour in which you talk and talk with things until the dawn? Every week we lift up the names of those in our community going through illness or hardship. This week we offer our dearest hopes to Maria Petula and Michael Richardson. We pray also for all those affected in our community and outside of it by this COVID-19 pandemic. If you would like to have your name or a loved one's name spoken in our prayer, please reach out to anyone on staff. We know that many of us came today with a joy so great we had to share it, and some with a burden so heavy we look to this community to help us bear it. We lift up in prayer additionally the name of Jennifer Joy. If you have a candle of joy or sorrow that you would like to kindle at home, you are invited to do so. Let us move now to be with Megan Henry, our Director of Education and Family Ministries, as she lights our candles of joy and sorrow.
If you have a candle nearby now that you would like to light, I invite you to join me in lighting candles of joys and sorrow now. And if you don't have one nearby, that's okay. We'll light one for you right here. At this time, we want to honor all of those names of people who we hold in our hearts, names spoken and held silently. As we have been blessed, so we bless one another. Amen. Blessed be.
We have a special guest musician joining us this morning for worship. This is First Unitarian member Anna Egge, who many of you will recognize from the congregation, but also from leading music with us on a couple of occasions. We've had the pleasure of working with her and the choir to do a couple of collaborations. And so I'll let Anna tell you what song she's going to play. But I'm also going to paste into the comments here the URL for a really nice video version of Anna with our choir in our beautiful sanctuary, so that after this Zoom meeting is all done, when you want to watch an even bigger, lusher, also beautiful version of this song, you have the opportunity to do so. So take it away, Anna.
Hello, everyone. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, everyone, for having me be a part of the service today. I'm going to share a song called We Are One that I wrote with my friend Gary Nicholson right after the big solar eclipse a couple years ago, when we were all gathered together for that cosmic event all across the world, even though we weren't in the same room together. And now we're gathered together watching this, experiencing this crisis in this moment. And those of us here now in this moment are gathered together with our intention and our attention. So I want to share this. And I wanted to share some wise words that my older sister told me when we were kids. It's okay to cry, she said. Hopefully I won't, so I can make it through the song. We were all looking up in the same direction. We were gathered together all around the world to watch the moon block the sun.
is amplified many fold by the fact that our lives were already quite weird. 2 months ago, before we were all talking about COVID-19, many of us were already living in a stormy psychic atmosphere. The world already offered much about which to be dismal and feel chaotic ideas. We are all of us bombarded by news, much of it worrisome, flooded with vast oceans of data, pouring in from more sources than our humble human brains can process. Life in 2020 can feel like listening to a radio station, playing 10 stations at once. Now that we're dealing with COVID-19, it feels more like listening to 20 stations at once, and they're all in foreign languages. Yet, amid the stresses of the past week, I've been moved to see the quick response of this community to support one another, from delivering food to offering online counseling. Ironically, we can find new heights of connection in the midst of our physical separation, and our efforts to support each other have only just begun. To help each other in this time is a privilege, and there is no faster way to replenish the joy and feeling of safety that the past few weeks have drained. While I'm optimistic about the resilience of First Unitarian, quarantine is still a major struggle. If you had told me when I was 12 that I was going to be forced to stay home in a room filled with snacks and video games, my tiny brain would have gone haywire with excitement. But this is not that. Instead, I've been struggling to tune out the keening, anxious thoughts that so many of us are dealing with right now. The best remedy I've found for this anxiety is focus. If we can focus on anything, from calling a friend to baking scones to writing a sermon, the miasma of our fears is swept away. The sermon I was preparing before this minor interruption to our scheduled programming was about selflessness. And by selflessness, I don't mean generosity. I mean the quality of not having a self. In many great religions, such as Christianity, seekers are taught that, of course, we have a self, and we must shoulder its responsibilities. Yet many other traditions, such as Buddhism, hold that the self is an illusion. To find transcendence, we must overcome the self and its deceptions. There's a sort of a serendipity here, I think, because selflessness has everything to do with this pandemic. Whatever we believe about the self, let us recognize two intersecting truths. On one hand, our individual actions matter, but we also cannot face a challenge this massive as individuals. To focus too much on the self is to forget our radical connectedness. In this time of adversity, let us be guided and uplifted by the fact that we are bound together. So first, let's talk about the self. What's so great about the self? What's going on there? Well, you have to admit that the self makes a good pitch. I'm me, you're you. This all feels fairly cut and dry. There's a strong intuitive appeal. Unitarian Universalism historically places great emphasis, great stock in the self. Our humanist ideals emphasize our capacity to think freely and make our own way. One of the premier poets of the self is our own Ralph Waldo Emerson. Perhaps his most famous essay is Self-Reliance, in which he advocates just that, for each individual to believe in their power and their worthiness, and no longer bow to what the world expects of them. He tells us that society is a joint stock company in which the members agree, for the better securing of their bread, to surrender the liberty and culture of the eater. In defiance of this soul-numbing conformity, he tells us, trust thyself. every heart vibrates to that iron string. Accept the place that divine providence has found for you. These are stirring words. It's thrilling to be told that we are powerful and in control. But there is in all this self-ignited brilliance an aftertaste of solipsism. There is little mention of community in Emerson's essay, whereas he spends many lines glorifying the lone male genius. Through the essay, we see the stark contrast between the pulse-quickening appeal of the self and the troubling side effects of putting ourselves first. Another brilliant writer to preach the transcendence of the self is everyone's favorite mustachioed malcontent, Friedrich Nietzsche. He too had nothing but gleeful scorn for what society thought was good and bad. He describes the self as a mighty lord, an unknown sage. He says we should listen to the ego above all else, the creating, willing ego, which is the measure and value of all things. As with Emerson, there is something electrifying here. There is a great spiritual fuel in the idea that we can reshape our world through our own willpower and courage. But as in self-reliance, there is a worrying excess of focus on the self. And this always seems to backfire in some way. Friendship, compassion, humility, when the self reigns, these things are a distant priority. And as with Emerson, there is something inescapably gendered here. The elevation of the self to godlike proportions seems to be sort of a male power fantasy. All this talk of conquering and overcoming makes me think of a six-year-old pretending to be a T-Rex, stomping around the house and roaring at the family dog. I don't mean to demonize the self, mind you. The self has much to recommend it. Ask your doctor if the self is right for you. For the most part, I really like Emerson and Nietzsche. I like them to a frankly embarrassing degree. The self is a powerful, enchanting force, but it can go too far, narrowing our focus to our own desires. In the midst of a viral pandemic, that is exactly the opposite of what we need. What's more, our society already focuses too much on the self as it is. We blame ourselves too much when things don't go our way and take too much credit when they do. Our money and career-focused world tells us to put the self at the center of our spiritual universe. But when our starting point is I, we can lose out on the joys that come from realizing our smallness, our transience, our connection to all of creation. Against a challenge like coronavirus, we are all individually small. Together, as a connected group, there are few problems we cannot face. Now that we've spent some time with the prophets of the self, let's look at some teachings of selflessness. Some of the greatest poets of selflessness are Sufi Muslims, who write beautifully about fana, annihilation of the self in God. Self is an illusion, the great veil that keeps us from seeing the divine. To quote the poet Attar, since love has spoken in your soul, reject the self, that whirlpool where our lives are wrecked. For Sufis and Buddhists, for that matter, the self is very much the wrong thing to worship. There are so many greater things that deserve our devotion. For a Sufi Muslim, that greater thing would, of course, be God. God is the highest of all things. As the Quran puts it, there is nothing like his like. The great poet Rumi believes that God alone is truly and ultimately real, writing, we and our existences are all non-existences, but you are absolute existence, appearing as annihilation. Keep in mind, selflessness is more than just doing a few good deeds. It's much deeper than that. Lamentably, selflessness can become something we humble brag about, just another merit badge pinned onto our shining sash of virtues. But true selflessness contains a great rejection of pride and personal achievements. It's about leaving our little one-person islands and joining to something much bigger and much more meaningful. There's beauty in this, and as I would argue, necessity. Nietzsche and Emerson, for all their talent, did not acquire that talent out of thin air. They were supported and taught by countless people. No matter how freestanding we feel ourselves to be, we are always bound by that invisible string, the connection we share with others across all boundaries of space and time. Now, there remains place for the primacy of the self. Radical courage and self-trust are great things, but at this point in time, in this country, I think we could use rather more of the former and less of the latter. American culture has long been excellent at valorizing the self, the hero, the genius, the conquering Lone Ranger. Let's dial that romanticizing back a bit. It is once we reject the self as a totally separate entity that we recognize the full extent of our connectedness. And that's exactly what we need right now. It might be tempting while we are in quarantine to turn inwards, to obsess over ourselves while we shut out other people. Let's try to do the opposite of that. For better or worse, driven by love or cruelty or ambivalence, our actions have shockwaves that affect others. COVID-19 has shoved our radical connectedness into our faces. That is a frightening thing in many ways, yet it has the potential to be a true revelation. Ideally, we would all care for each other all the time, not just when we're facing a viral pandemic. The selflessness we need to fight coronavirus can lead us to a better way in all times of struggle. From calling your friends, to delivering food to the vulnerable, to just staying home, there are so many actions we can take. The spiritual care of our loved ones is on all of us. In this moment, we must all of us be ministers. Not literally. Don't go out and start marrying people. And you can't start doing exorcisms either. That's my thing, and I don't need the competition. I'd like to close by quoting an obscure work of fiction. Some of you may know it's called Lord of the Rings. Frodo is feeling overwhelmed by his destiny and says, "I wish it need not have happened in my time." To which Gandalf replies, "So do I. And so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us." First Unitarian, there is so much we can do with the time we have together. Let us strive to act selflessly and know with concrete certainty that our care for each other will always prove stronger than our fears. No matter how alone you might feel in the days to come, know that you are not. And may that knowledge thunder in your chest like a second heartbeat. May it be so.
We are going to close. Sorry, I'm managing like 10 Apple devices right now. We're going to close with the hymn Love Will Guide Us. The lyrics are on one of your screens, I hope, at this point. And once again, please sing along if you can from home.
us have faith that the strings that bind us, visible and invisible, cannot, will not be broken. And let us remember that love in these times and all challenging times will guide us. Go in peace, knowing that we are one and we are loved.